And first of all, again, I should thank the organizers for inviting me. It's been a wonderful day. And I hope you have the energy to, it's coming to the end now. So I will, after this backward talk, I'll try to make it a much more simple talk, which is related to or concerns dipolar fermions in one and two dimensional geometries. And the people who did the work, this works, it's frozen, okay, are these guys here. So the outline of the talk is I will cover three topics. I will cover dipoles moving around. So these are fermionic dipoles moving around in a layer setup. So two-dimensional layers, and we will have several of them. And I will play with the angle here. So the dipolar molecules, or whatever they are, will be. We can tilt the angle, and we can play with density and the dipole moment. And the bottom line of that part of the talk will be that you have stripe instabilities. And those stripe instabilities are strongly affected by correlations between layers. And those correlations enhance the stripe instability. And then I will end up by plugging in numbers for various experimental molecules. So you can see that this is something, those kind of correlations between layers should be observable. And they come from the fact that the layers are always in phase independent of this angle here. So that's the message of the first part of the talk. And the guy who did the work was this guy here, Jens Kuskus, a PhD student. The second part of the talk, I will put the dipoles in, I'll just put look at one layer, but I will put in a square lattice. And this is work done by Anne-Louise, who was a PhD student. She's now in Switzerland at ETH. And here we have two kinds of degrees of freedom, or several kinds of degrees of freedom, but we have two angles. We can tilt the dipoles in with respect to the c-axis, which is perpendicular to the lattice. But we can also, there's also this azimuthal angle here with respect to one of the lattice vectors, which makes the physics even more rich. And here we will not only look at density order, we will look at density order, but we will also look at superfluidity, because there's a possibility for these dipoles to form p-wave superfluids. And there are filling fractions, there are all sorts of things. So this is a very rich problem, which we will only look at aspects of it. And then at the end, if we get there, if we have time, this is very new work that is not published yet, done by Frank Deuritzbacher, who's in Hannover. And this is self-concerns dipoles sitting in a one-dimensional geometry. So you have a tube, and you tilt the dipoles along the axis here. And then the bottom line of this talk, part of the talk, is that you have self-bound states. So stripes, stripes, checkerboard order, p-wave superfluidity, Kosterlitz-Sauerlis melting, and self-bound states. Those are the kind of phenomena that will come up during this talk.
And there's no lattice in the bottom case?
No, no lattice. So this is just a homogeneous system of dipoles.
And the 1 over r cubed is not a word?
It is integrated, I will show you. So I integrate over the Gaussian transverse modes,
okay.
So then it's cut off. So it's a short range, so essentially you have exact results here. So it's a 1D fermionic system with a short range interaction.
And you're assuming no losses?
I'm not worrying about, so these are chemically inactive, so I'm taking the opposite approach of Hans-Peter Büchner. I'll just assume that they don't chemically react and nothing nasty happens. So if I get a stable mean field solution, I'm happy. Good. So you all know how the dipole interaction looks. So it has, it's anisotropic. It can be both repulsive and attractive, depending on whether they're side by side or whether they're attractive, head to tail. Here's how it looks. And we now go into looking at this multilayer setup. So what we will, the tendency, I mean, this fact that it's attractive when they're head to tail as opposed to side by side makes them want to form stripes. So one prediction is that if you tilt the things, the dipoles, they will be, if the dipolar interaction is strong enough to overcome the Fermi pressure, it can start to distort it can form density modulations. So we will look for this. So when you tilt it down, at some point they start forming stripes, which is illustrated here. We will just examine this instability. Okay. So this is another way of saying it. So in two dimensions, the anisotropy of the dipolar interaction gives rise to fun effects coming from the fact that if you have one dipole here, the other dipoles are attracted to it when they're in this, when they're here, and they're repelled when they're here. So you get these attractive sliver in the planes that the dipoles move. And then, of course, there's also interaction between the layers. And this is, it's this kind of attractive sliver or less repulsive sliver that gives this density stability.
Wait, can you again? At first glance, it looks like all you get, the 1-3 cosine squared, cosine is fixed, right? So it looks like just a change in D.
This is the, okay, so it's unpedagogical. It's not a blackboard, it's fast. This is one angle, this is a different angle. This is the angle between the dipoles. So this is the angle between the relative vector of the dipoles mm-hmm. and their orientation. So that changes, even though they are fixed in orientation, when you move them like that, that angle changes.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay.
So that's a different, there's a little index subscript here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are dipoles aligned along the y-axis, right?
No, the dipoles are aligned along, so that's what I'm going to play with. I'm not sticking to perpendicular directions. I'm actually playing with it.
There's no field there. There's a D vector.
I'm going too fast then. I mean, I have the dipoles. They move in a plane, and they're fixed by some E field. It's a D field here. So they're polarized. So they move, if they're like this, they repel because they're side by side. If they move like that, they attract. So this is what this joint say, all point in the same direction. I'm going to play with this angle here. It should actually be this theta here.
So in real life, they're going to be processing about the d-axis, right? So is that going to matter?
It's not. This is an effective dipole moment. So I'm not assuming perfect alignment, but there will be some net polarization pointing in some direction.
It's in the ground state, it's fine, right? You can come back to an induced dipole moment, this picture, I think.
Yeah.
If you have n equal 1, yeah, this starts to meet the operations of the net, but if it's n equal 0, I think so. Are you assuming pure 2D, like strong confinement of the lattices? So they are not like quasi 2D when they can collide?
I'm assuming. Pure TD, strong confinement,
yeah.
So they don't hop. The interaction I work with is integrated over, in this case, over this Gaussian in this direction. So I'm assuming they cannot hop to higher transverse modes. So this is a high energy. That's one thing, and I'm also assuming nothing chemical nasty is going on.
And no additional quantum interactions?
No. These are identical fermions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a technical slide. So how did we look for the strive instability? So one way of looking at it is simply just looking for what when one of the collector modes, like Mr. Tickner said the other day, just look for look for collector modes going unstable. So acquiring some imaginary part, and we will look for collector mode sound waves with a given direction and a given length of the vector, which turns out to be 2 times kf. That's the most unstable length because you can create particle hole excitations in the Fermi C that doesn't cost any energy. But what he did was he looked for poles of this response function, density-density response function, which gives us the collector modes in this language here. And people have done this before. So this was actually 2 papers in 2010 which did it within the RPA. People have done it with the local field factor method, which is taken heavily inspired by the Coulomb community, Coulomb gases. So we did it with, it's a strongly correlated effect, as you will see. It's a strong coupling effect, so one has to do something. And we said, okay, it's a strong correlated effect, so we will try to make at least some conserving approximation in the sense of Callan of Bain for people who know this. So that is just self-consistent Hartree Fock. So that we did a self-consistent Hartree-Fock approximation and calculated the density response function. That's fairly heavy numerically, but that is what Jens did. So you have to calculate everything self-consistently, everything is non-local. And similar approaches have been put forward also by these groups here, Demler and Baranov.
So Pfann guarantees the convergence of this measure? Pfann guarantees you that this is the convergence, so if this is the correct, you don't have to go to higher.
we don't. It's a strong. I mean, okay. It's okay. I'll show the next slide. Then you can. The question becomes even more hairy, even more relevant. So let's look at just.
Can I ask a question before you go to that slide?
Yeah.
So this local field thing, is that like Clausius and Celsius thing to ask where these things are polarized? What's the actual local field? You've got some cavity around the thing and all that. Is it that type of thing?
I don't understand the local field theory. It's what they do in Coulomb. What are the names you mentioned?
Clausius Masotti.
Probably, yeah. It's a very classic method in the Coulomb gas community. So you get these non-local response functions, integral equations for the response functions, those kinds here, and you assume that you have some local. You can represent that by a local interaction, which is this local field. I don't understand it. This gives widely different result from us. So all the results are differ. They all get a stripe of stability, but the number is different. So I think the local field factor is way over here. That's you should talk to Mira Paris. She's very keen on that.
Are there measurements to compare, or will there be?
No, they're just about to make these guesses. So if you talk to me, you want to see whether
just think about the BEC limit, maybe you get kind of rather.